What up, everybody? I'm going to initiate a call to action for everyone to donate $1.99 so that you can access the back catalog of the podcast as well as to help your podcast grow. I'm trying to grow the podcast, and I want to do that with you guys and make it better and brighter and bring you more information. So if you want to access the back catalog and help support me as an artist, I appreciate you. And please donate at anchor.fm underneath Lockdown Universe. Thanks so much and enjoy the show. What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to Lockdown Universe, home of the bizarre, peculiar, and unheard of stories of UFO, legend, and paranormal lore. Welcome back, welcome back. Happy to be back. Hopefully you guys are doing well and taking care of yourself. So today, I want to talk about a well-known, yet still not fully investigated event called the Flatwoods Monster, or Braxy, or the Braxton Monster. There's lots of different names for this fine event, but if you've heard it, don't worry, I'll bring you some new info. I've actually done a podcast on this one before, but I wanted to bring it up again because there's some new information. I think it's one of the coolest stories of UFO legend and lore, and I think that it sheds some light into the different species of aliens that might be out there. So if you're not familiar with this story, basically back in 1952, in the flatwoods of West Virginia, it's a little village, in September 12th, 1952, some young boys, a mother, and a National Guard member came upon this somewhat robotic, somewhat biologic entity, and we'll get into that in just a second. So, what happened that night was, at dusk, two brothers, Ed and Freddie May, who were 12 and 13, had been playing in the schoolyard with their 10-year-old friend Tommy Heyer. They noticed a pulsing red light streak across the sky and crash on a nearby farm. The three youngsters ran to grab May's, their mother, the May boys' mother, and then they ran right up the hill and checked out what happened. A few other boys, one with a dog, showed up as well as a National Guard member who was only 17 years old. His name was Gene Lemon. He led the group with a flashlight, to go see what was going on. So seven Braxton County residents on that Saturday reported seeing a 10-foot-tall Frankenstein-like monster. Although Frankenstein isn't the right word, but that's what they quoted in the paper. A Frankenstein-like monster in the hills above Flatwoods, a local newspaper reported afterwards. A National Guard member, 17 years old, Gene Lemon, led the group when he saw what appeared to be a pair of bright eyes in a tree. Lemon screamed and fell backwards, and the news account said, when he saw a 10-foot monster with a bloody red face, blood red body, and a green face that seemed to glow. Now, there's some inconsistencies here. Some people state that the body was green and the face was red, and vice versa. They also stated that it may have had claws for hands, but it was hard to tell in the dense mist. Of course, this story got picked up by local news, national radio, national news, huge papers all across the United States. It even created a Flatwoods Monster Museum at the Braxton County Convention Visitors Bureau. Many people go there just to sit in the chair that looks like a robot. It's not a robot, but it has a spade-like design behind its head, and its head just had these huge eyes, and then it had these very thin, skinny, long arms that protruded out of it like sticks almost. If you could imagine sticks coming off of a snowman in the winter. And then it had what appeared to be some sort of like dress, skirt-like thing towards the bottom, because some of the folks that witnessed this reported that there were folds in the material giving off a skirt-like or material-like feel to the material. Now, what's interesting is that many people have, over the years, by and large, have reported this thing to be a robot. But what if you look at what the witnesses say, and you watch some of these documentaries, they say that this entity was more biological than robotic. They say that the entire entity really looked biological. It didn't look like it had a robot-like shield to it. However, there are some of those naysayers that believe that this Flatwoods monster actually was a metal shield around a reptilian that was floating around, and it provided as armor and protection as it floated around and gathered intel around West Virginia. Now, with all the reptilian stories we've ever heard, we've never heard of a reptilian floating around in a metal armor or metal shield or robotic exoskeleton or anything like that. But that's what one individual who was working with the History Channel, I believe it was, came out and basically pushed that narrative that there was some sort of reptilian being inside this this box, despite the fact that none of these eyewitnesses said anything like that. So isn't it funny how history can get twisted in really bizarre and untruthful ways? Now, the design, like, if you go onto, like, Wikipedia.org, for example, which I just flipped over to, it has basically what looks like a robot with, like, a leaf spade-like design behind it, and it has, it looks like metal, and it's basically twice as high as a human. What's really interesting about this is it gives us an idea for what other kind of entities there are out there. You know, could this have been a robotic shield? Maybe, but unlikely, because all of the people that witnessed it stated that it was a biological entity. Which is very, very interesting, because when we think about different entities that are out there, there's lots of different kinds, right? There's 3 foot tall, 6 foot tall, whites, gray aliens, and then there's reptilians, there's Nordics, there's praying mantid-like creatures, there's Bigfoot-like creatures. And then one of the most interesting ones I came across the other day while I was watching Randy Kramer and Emery Smith talk about this on Gaia was that they've come across a banana head-looking creature. And one of the whistleblowers was drawing a picture of this entity and then gave it to Randy. And he asked me, he's like, have you ever encountered this type of creature before? Because this is what I saw 20 years ago. And Randy Kramer, who's one of the men who's been on the 20 and Back program, went and fought on Mars against the Mars Reptoids, basically said, yeah, these banana head like creatures, basically it looks like somebody put a banana on their head, but like elongated it out, kind of like, you know, some of these ancient aliens that we hear about with these long elongated heads that created cultures that wanted to have these long elongated heads backwards. But he stated that when he asked his emissary ambassador that he was with in this Mars space station and the Jupiter space station, he asked him about these aliens. He said, what is this? He said, oh, yeah, we call them the banana heads, but that's not a negative term. It's just that they call us, like, the primitive naked monkeys, so we call them the banana heads, and it's a fun joke. But it's just more for description than anything. But it just goes to show you there's those kinds of aliens that are out there. And he said, Randy Kramer stated that they evolved from mollusks, like a mollusk-like creature on their planet. So depending on what the creature evolves from is going to determine what it ultimately appears like once it matures. So the other one that's really fascinating to me is that he stated there's also octopus-like creatures out there that do have to live inside of tanks when they go to do their business in these international space stations, or I shouldn't say international, intergalactic space stations that are outside of Jupiter. And there's also the Varginha Brazil incident in 1997, where it was like an oily brown creature that looked like maybe a 5-foot-tall brown alien that was similar to the grays, but just 5 foot tall, with these deep ridges in its head and red eyes. And that's what's like really fascinating to me, is that I think as humans we sometimes can be narrow-minded in thinking that an alien has to look a certain way because that's what I know and that's what media has told me or that's what I've read. But the fact of the matter is that there's alien life all around us, you know, in the form of insects and birds and all kinds of things. And I shouldn't say alien life necessarily, but different forms of life right here on Earth. So for us to say, well, it's impossible for there to be, you know, a banana head creature or a Braxton County monster or Flatwoods monster creature or an octopus-like creature or a reptilian. It's just simply ridiculous because life forms where it forms. Life will find a way, like Jeff Goldblum's character in Jurassic Park said, right? Life will find a way no matter what. Think about how hard a weed pushes through cement cracks in order to grow. Life will find a way, and if it will find a way, it will change its shape in order to survive. I have a garden out back where I have a plant that's growing around another plant just to survive and be able to spread its seed to be able to create a fruit and a vegetable. I mean, it's amazing what life can do. So, going back to the Braxton County monster, what's fascinating to me as well with like the hooded spade shape is that there have also been reports of other aliens that have worn either hooded-like shapes or a spade-like shape behind their head. There was a tall white that was part of one woman's book. I believe it was called The Mental Jigsaw or something like that. I have to pull up her book. But she had been abducted so many times. It was like over 60 or 100 times. And she had basically suffered from like dissociative identity disorder, multiple personality disorder, and just like so much trauma that she had to compartmentalize it all. But she was able to draw so many creatures that she encountered, and one of the strongest, most powerful ones was one that was that looked like a tall white, very pale white, somewhat cone-headed like creature that did have a spade-like edifice behind it or piece of clothing behind him, that also wore a jewel right in front of him. And that jewel that was like on a necklace would hold power. And once they touched it, it could either be an offensive weapon or it could be a defensive weapon or it could be a healing entity as well. So these entities that seem strange, that seem bizarre, that seem artistic or, you know, out of the norm do exist. At least they are reported, even if they are the minority. So that's what's truly fascinating in this world of ufology that we you know, subscribe to, is that there's just so much interesting, fascinating types of creatures out there that we can continue to talk about it for forever. I mean, the interesting thing with this case is that there was no attack, you know, really reported. Some, I think one or two of the witnesses stated that it moved towards them and like kind of hissed, while others stated that it didn't. They were too busy running. So, I mean, let's face it. I mean, if a highly civilized entity came down here, it could have caught those guys in a heartbeat. It would have had the technology to do it, to do that. So, you know, I don't think it was there to hurt them. Maybe it was trying to communicate with them. Who knows? I mean, is it possible it was trying to abduct them? Sure, but they have the technology to be able to basically put anyone in their area into a comatose state and take them wherever they want. So I think I will try to wrap it up here, but I think that, you know, if you haven't explored this particular case, go back. I did a podcast on it probably a couple of years ago. It's called The Flatwoods Monster. and you can listen to it, but there's so much around this story that's really, really fascinating. I like going back and looking at it, because when I think that I know everything there is to know about a subject, and then I find out new information, I definitely want to share it with you guys and kind of discuss it, because at one point I thought that this might have been maybe like a droid, you know, non-sentient being sent down like a robot to survey the area, right? Maybe pick some plants, maybe pick some, you know, living creatures, and then bring them back to the ship. But going back through the eyewitness testimony, they state that this was more of a biological entity, which is really fascinating. You would think that there would have been some sort of telepathy that happened, because with almost every alien entity encountered, there's always been a telepathic communication between the two parties. And in this case, there really wasn't. So what could it be? Could it have been an alien robot? Could it have been just an alien that didn't want to communicate telepathically? Could it have been the barn owl that some people say? I guess we won't know for sure, but one thing's for sure, I believe that there's more than meets the eye in many of these cases. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I want to bring you guys another one. So enjoy the evening. Take care of your physical, spiritual, and emotional health. Follow through on your hobbies and your goals and your dreams. And as always, continue to question the universe around you. Till next time, guys, take care, and Lockdown Universe out.